going to start off with some headlines. I've gathered a few. New Zealand's High Court rules against the state's superannuation fund, that's NZ Super, over its investments in companies implicated in Israel's human rights violations, setting a precedent for sovereign and pension funds investment across the world. The complaint filed by Palestine Solidarity Network Aotearoa, PSNA, emerged out of the NZ Super's refusal to divest from Airbnb, Booking.com, Expedia and Motorola. This win is a testament to the key role BDS partners play in holding complicit governments and institutions accountable for their failure to honour their legal obligations under international law. You might have been aware of the Homeless Persons Union's of Victoria's pushback against the City of Melbourne's community services offices after it was revealed in a recent article in The Age that these community service offices were being encouraged to use force when moving on rough sleepers and confiscating their belongings. There's an update to this. After interviews on the ABC local radio with the Homeless Persons Union Victoria spokesperson Patrick Spike Cipollone, followed the next day with Melbourne City Mayor Nick Rees, the mayor has invited the Homeless Persons Union Victoria to a meeting midweek. We will catch up with Spike and Kelly next week on Solidarity Breakfast around 8:30 p.m. for an update. The union is not taking the foot off the pedal, calling for people to come to the Melbourne Town Hall for the Big Lean, Tuesday, 12th of May at 5:30 p.m. As they say, everyone has a right to the city. Shove the CSO program. And to follow up from last week's look at AI and its supposed wondrous work future for humanity, but actually jobs are being slashed left, right and centre, Disney, the parent company of Marvel, announced layoffs of 1,000 members of the comic property's staff in both New York and California. This reportedly includes the artists, designers and other creatives who brought the Marvel Cinematic Universe to life on the big and small screens. One's concept artist and illustrator, Wesley Burt, shared the news of his layoff on X, where he wrote, "The irony of having a one-on-one HR layoff meeting in the conference room with my Loki mural on it, accompanied by an eye-catching floor-to-ceiling image of Tom Hiddleston as Loki on the conference room wall." Burt's IMDb page notes that he worked on MCU films like Black Panther, Avengers, Endgame and The Fantastic Four, First Steps, and has won 3 Art Directors Guilds Award for Excellence. The reason the Walt Disney Company announcing the massive layoffs is to streamline operations, in inverted commas, according to a memo from the new CEO, Josh D'Amaro. The cuts will affect about 1,000 employees across all arms of Disney's media holdings. One division basically what they're going to do is use AI, because I know this is hard, D'Amaro wrote in a memo to employees. These decisions are not a reflection of their contribution or of the overall strength of the company. Rather, they reflect our continual evaluation of how to more effectively manage our resources and reinvest in our businesses.
Well, it's interesting that I've been doing a bunch of reading on the history of the modern take on the European Union. And in the 90s, UK communist Alan Woods was writing about how it was just a ploy by the European bourgeois to expand its capital markets all across the nation states of Europe. And the first coin that was minted for the euros was actually one with the figure of Scrooge the Duck. Just to show how tied in the Disney franchise and is to capitalism, and how emblematic it is of capital expansion in the world.
Well, it's interesting because if you did further reading around these artists that were working for Disney, they actually conceptualized the entire franchise, you know, the all the very well-known iconography that goes with this incredibly lucrative franchise, the Marvel Comics realizations. They weren't given direction. They created it. So now they're saying is that now that you've done the work, we'll now get AI to do all the illustrations. People are saying that people should drop their Disney subscriptions.
Yeah, and this is something that we're seeing sort of mirrored around a lot of these new or newer digital industries with Rockstar Games firing most of its development staff for its the latest iteration of the Grand Theft Auto games just months before it was due to be released. After all the hard work's done, the staff are to see no payouts for all their hard work.
Yeah, it's pretty outrageous. We should move on to other news. You will have seen that the mainstream media is kicking off with reports that in Alice Springs that there's been protests and violence around the really quite horrible death of a 5-year-old child. But as a sort of a backgrounder, I mean, because TV loves a bit of violence, doesn't it? But
decontextualized violence.
Yeah, yeah. The Northern Territory government boycotts federal youth justice inquiry. So, I mean, they're obviously being a bit disingenuous. I mean, Lydia Thorpe put out a release talking about act of contempt, Northern Territory boycotts federal youth justice inquiry. The Northern Territory Attorney General, Department of Children and Families, Department of Corrections, Department of Education and Northern Territory Police were among those invited but did not attend this particular inquiry. No ministers, departments or agencies affronted the inquiry, Senator Thorpe has said. This amounts to an act of contempt. It is completely unacceptable that the Northern Territory government has boycotted this inquiry and refuses to face scrutiny. It's fascinating, isn't it? So on one hand, they squeeze people to a terrible level and then and refuse to actually cooperate with community building or take responsibility for their actions. And then they go for photo opportunities on mainstream news for violence.
Yeah, and it exists in the larger context, of course, of the Northern Territory intervention.
Yeah.
When we see prominent spokespeople for Australian mainstream media supporting false claims that there was this moral panic that was created around the safety of children in the Northern Territory that manufactured the consent to be able to go into Indigenous rural communities and destroy the fabric. And so when we spoke to friend of the show, Maluma May, she was saying that this is the context that all this exists in. So all these, supposed youth gangs and violence and everything is the product of successive government policy failures and of legitimate...
I have to say it's intentional.
Yeah, it's intentional. And the animosity that's felt towards Northern Territory Police can't be understated after the killing of people in shopping centres after the
25-year-old a couple of weeks ago, a 25-year-old guy.
Yeah,
died.
The police officer that shot a person getting away scot-free. So the anger at police is tangible and it is legitimate, even though the media might not like you to hear about that.
Yeah, well, let's move on to the global Sumud Fatila.
Yeah, so as everyone would have seen, they've been attacked. I'll just read from their statement from April 30th. Piracy in plain sight. Israel abducts multinational civilians on the open sea. Israel's actions tonight, Wednesday 29th of April. Oh,
before you get to that, play Zach Schofield's, he was on the boat. He's one of the people that's been gathered up. And this is from his voice, from his Instagram feed.
All right, well, here on Eros, we are still sailing as part of the global summit flotilla, but we're seeing reports from Israeli media that they are claiming that they're starting to intercept us. Now, we're nowhere close to the claimed territorial waters of Israel. We are still west of Crete. And what is really terrifying about this is that it's yet another example of Israel breaking every single international law in the book to starve Palestinians and continue their genocide of the Palestinians. If they are seizing us here on the high seas, that is so clearly an act of kidnapping and piracy under international law. The question is, will any of our governments take action against them? And yeah, there are drones above us and in front of us. The question for the Australian people should be, how can we be allies with a country that is willing to break every single international law in the book to arrest and imprison and detain humanitarian volunteers on a humanitarian mission, literally 2 weeks' sail from Israel itself? It's genuinely unprecedented, but Israel has a history of doing things that are genuinely unprecedented to Palestinians.
That's the voice of Zach Schofield.
They're 1,000 kilometres away from Gaza.
Yeah. I'll just read from the press release. Israel's actions tonight, Wednesday 29th of April, mark a dangerous and unprecedented escalation. The abduction of civilians in the middle of the Mediterranean, over 600 miles from Gaza, in full view of the world. Let's be clear about what this is. This is piracy. This is the unlawful seizure of human beings on the open sea near Crete. An assertion that Israel can operate with total impunity far beyond its own borders with no consequences.
Well, Navarro Media sent out a release. The global Samud flotilla was attacked last night by warships, drones and speedboats full of heavily armed Israeli commandos despite sailing just off the coast of Greece, more than 500 nautical miles from Gaza. Of 57 boats at sea, 22 are believed to have been intercepted in the attack, which began at around 11 p.m. local time. 35 others escaped interception, with many sailing into Greek territorial waters. Around 170 participants are believed to have been detained and are likely being taken to Israel, several days' sails away. Others were left stranded at sea. In a statement, GSF described their situation as a calculated death trap. After smashing engines and destroying navigation arrays, the military retreated, intentionally leaving hundreds of civilians stranded on powerless broken vessels directly in the path of a massive approaching storm. Organisers initially assumed that all intercepted participants had been detained. Many activists posted pre-recorded videos to their Instagram accounts saying that they had been taken hostage. But with systems down and the phones thrown overboard, it is possible some are actually adrift and unable to communicate. In October, the IDF pirated flotilla boats and sailed them back to Ashdod, but Israeli commandos reportedly found this challenging because they got seasick and didn't know how to sail. The journey then was only hours long. This time it could last several days. It's interesting because Elhad Haq commented that about the response from the Israelis. Israel's Minister of Defence smeared the international humanitarian activists travelling on the flotilla, stating that the flotilla was, inverted commas, organised by the Hamas terror organisation in cooperation with additional international organisations and under the guise of a humanitarian aid flotilla. A statement from the Israelis Minister of Foreign Affairs warned that, inverted commas, the driving force behind the flotilla provocation is Hamas, joining hands with professional provocateurs with the aim of sabotaging President Trump's peace plan transition to its second phase. Due to the large numbers of vessels participating in the flotilla and the risk of escalation and the need to prevent the breach of a lawful blockade, early action was required in accordance with international law. But the flotilla, composed of activists and human rights defenders, are undertaking a peaceful mission aimed at delivering humanitarian aid and challenging the ongoing siege and blockade imposed on the Gaza Strip. As widely affirmed in legal analysis and expert commentary, such flotillas constitute a form of non-violent and humanitarian expression. The detentions evoke serious concerns under international law, particularly regarding the protection of peaceful protest, humanitarian actions, and the treatment of civilians involved in solidarity endeavours, along with Israel's previous and serious inhumane treatment of flotilla activists. Israel's in accordance with international law. The blockade of Gaza, which has been going on for decades, is an illegal action.
Yeah, and last month was the anniversary of Vittorio Arrigoni, we reported on Radio Philip, who was one of the first people to get through on the flotilla to Gaza and was subsequently killed by militias thought to be linked to Israeli special forces, Mossad. But what we've seen, especially in countries like Italy, who have, I guess, more of a direct connection being connected by the Mediterranean, but also with much broader campaigns building on the solidarity with the boats, we've seen that over more than 200 mobilizations have occurred in Italy around the flotilla being raided, and that's led to people being just normal students being side by side with workers that are under government attack, similar to what the CFMEU is under administration here. And they've been taking city squares all around Italy in protest of this.
The people are calling for... they alerted people that this is what was happening and people were asked to ring Penny Wong's office. But, of course, if you rang Wong's office, which I did, there was a recorded message, and they were saying things like, we get a lot of calls, and so we can't answer all of them. And you can put it in writing if you've got concerns, da 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 da. So the advice was actually that you should go to your federal minister's office and make your feelings known.